Amen. Okay, do we have any more prayer requests? Nope. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? We have a lot of sick people in the community. It's I just can't stress to you how important the communion is. There's been times where I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even hardly, you know, something would attack me and my voice would be gone. I'd feel terrible and couldn't breathe. I'd get in here. One time I went down to Ron's house and I said, hey, you might have to preach on a Sunday morning or on a Saturday night. And I went down, I got here and I took communion and I could preach. And then I had to go back to bed. But I could preach and it was okay. But the communion is for us. God gave it to us for our healing. This can be an emergency that you run to or a daily maintenance thing if you want. Jesus said to take this as often as you will. The important thing to do is don't take it out of a religious habit, but to actually discern the body of Christ and look at this bread as his body and see what that body went through. If you look at this, this bread has been pounded flat. It's been beaten flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look, this bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood, and wherever he shed blood, we get redemption. And this bread has been slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus so that we could walk free. And his body was broken. A good chapter in the Bible to read when you want to take communion at home is Isaiah 53. Look at that chapter and see the passion of Christ. See everything that he went through for us. So we're taking this for our healing, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. One thing about where I went to Bible school is Glenn Smith told us to go to different churches. Go to all these different churches. Go there and don't say anything, don't do anything, just watch and observe. And that gave me a curiosity for all these different denominations and see why they do the things they do. Also, it gave me a better understanding how to deal with other people. Well, one of the curiosities that came up was communion. And so I got to watch them, and they all had these different ways of taking communion. And so I'd ask people, I'd say, why do you take communion? I'm just curious. And they say, boy, you don't ever put any money in the plate unless you take communion. I thought, that's interesting. And I kept asking questions. Some people would say, well, we just take communion because that's what we do on the first Sunday of every month. And I had a whole range of different reasons why we took communion, except for the one the Bible laid out for us, for our healing. That's for our healing. And if we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing in our bodies. That blood of Jesus set us free from the demonic forces that are in this world. That blood of Jesus washed away our sins and gave us the freedom and ability to walk into God's presence. That's something that hadn't happened for thousands of years. People were kept away from the presence of God. Yeah, but it took the blood of Jesus to get us back in His presence. So we can receive mercy and grace. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. This is getting more and more exciting every day. Our world is changing so drastically and so mightily that all these things that are coming together and all these things that are happening are just magnificent. Only God could put them together. I want you to turn to your Bibles in Joel. In the little prophets there. Chapter 2. Verse 20. It says, "But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree, And the vine do yield hurt their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain for the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I set among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood there before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." We're living in prophecy right now. We're living in prophecy. Now, I don't know if any of you have noticed, the revival is on. Ashbury. Ashbury. The home of the Methodists. Wesley started this. A lot of people like to rave on the Methodists for doing this wrong and doing that wrong. There's some things wrong, but look, they're there because they did some things right. Amen. I've encouraged people in this congregation to order the book, The Day of the Saints by Bill Hammond. I've been encouraging people for years to do this. Do this. Get that book. It costs $20. $20. You spend that on one hamburger meal down at the restaurant. The Day of the Saints by Bill Hammond. It talks about all these different dispensations that God has brought the church from, through, starting all the way back to the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church was the only ones that had a Bible. And it shows how God brought them forward and brought more forward and brought more forward. You know, the Bible tells us that He is going to bring us together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine. Just throw your doctrine out the window. I wish the church would just throw their own man-made doctrine out the window and forget it. And just stay right on the Bible. Stop reading what you believe and start believing what you read. Take the whole Bible and just get the whole thing. Get as much of God as you can possibly get. Now, we've seen the blood turn to moon, have we not? The blood moon? We've been seeing signs and wonders in the skies. Huge, huge things going on. But we're living in a magnificent time. Bill Hammond prophesied that in the end times there would be great big bunches of youth getting together and hitting the streets. And they're going to be doing the things of Christ on the streets. We're going to see miracles happening. And now, these guys at Ashbury, they decided they better repent and start praying. College kids. So they started doing that. And then pretty soon somebody else decided to. And then pretty soon somebody else decided to. And now there's 18 different bunches of people that have decided they better start repenting and praying. It's even in Israel and Africa now. This movement is going around the world. This is huge. This is a big, big thing. Now, how many of you have been hearing on the news about World War III? How many of you have been hearing that Russia and America are going to be in a great war? Remember when I told you, every time there's something wrong, it's because there's something right has already been put in place. And we're going to have a little bit of a history lesson. I'm going to read out of my phone for just a second. But you need to hear this. You need to see this. One significant word that one of our elders gave us over 10 years ago was that Satan would try to escalate regional conflicts into going to be a regional conflict into a premature world war. This was something that Satan would try and do to stop the great harvest in the earth. This actually happened. Around the beginning of the 1900s when the student-led volunteer movement in which 20,000 university students pledged their lives for world missions. However, World War I stopped this great move of God and numbers of young people died on the battlefields. From that time, these people have been praying during regional conflicts to quell a coming world war. Isn't that something? Now, we are on the verge of such a huge movement of God. And it's going to be so fun. There's too many people in the church that are afraid of what's about to happen. You need to get excited. You need to start praying and start shouting hallelujah. The day has come. He's going to restore to us what the cankerworm has stolen. He's going to restore to us what the thief has stolen. I don't know exactly how everything's going to come down, but it's going to happen. How many of you think that God is not going to have His way? You know, God created a game plan for humankind. Did you know that? He created a game plan for humankind, and He placed them in the garden. And that is how He originally wanted things to be. Do you think He changed His mind about that? See, He told Adam, don't eat of that fruit, lest you die. Well, what happened to Adam? He ate of that fruit, and he lived for another 1,000 years before he died. It took the curse that long to get him dead. Man was not created to die. Did you know that? You were not created to die. Physically. You were not created to die spiritually either. There's such a thing as a millennial reign that's coming down our path. I don't know how far in the near future this is, but we're coming upon this time. I don't know where the rapture fits in. I don't know how all this is going to tie in together. I don't know how we're going to get from one place to the next. I just know we're going to get there. We're in the most exciting time that that anybody in this world has ever seen. It's possible that there's a lot of people running around on this earth that won't taste physical death when Jesus sets His kingdom up in Israel. How exciting can that be? How exciting would it be to see Satan chained up in the pit for 1,000 years? And then we get to run around on this beautiful planet without the curse. How about that? That sounds pretty fun to me. One of my biggest concerns is that a lot of the established church is going to miss out on a lot of fun stuff. Because they're going to be arguing about non-essential scruples. Well, you sprinkle and you pour and you dip. You don't baptize, right? You don't get born again, right? Oh, man, you're one of those tongue talkers. You're not a tongue talker. You believe in faith healing. You do this, you do that. Oh, man, you don't even tithe right. You don't do this right. You don't do that right. Knock it off. Just knock it off. Just don't ever do that again. Because you know what that really is? You're just getting in agreement with Satan over the division of the body of Christ. Do you know how foolish that is? We got to not do that. I want you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. People ask me all the time, so what denomination are you? I said, I ain't. Well, are you part of the Cowboy Church? No. Well, what are you? I'm a believer. Why don't you claim somebody? You need to claim somebody, because then I'm going to be agreeing with the fractions. Paul said, I would be all things to all people. So if I need to be a Baptist for a little bit, then praise God, I'll be a Baptist for a little bit. You know, if you'll just take the time to read that book, The Day of the Saints, you'll find out that every one of these denominations has something very valuable for us. They have something very important for the body of Christ, all of them. Do you know Martin Luther was a priest? He was a priest. Somebody came up to him one day and they said, did you ever read the New Testament? And he said, no, never seen it. So that piqued his curiosity. Your curiosity should be struck once in a while. You should be curious about the things of God, regardless of who has it. You should be curious. Well, anyway, Martin Luther got curious enough to go find a New Testament. He found one in Germany. They had it in a vault. He dug it out. This is during the Dark Ages. He dug that thing out, read the New Testament, and lo and behold, he found out that we were justified freely by the grace of God alone. And we're righteous by faith. He found out we had to be born again. And that got him in a lot of trouble. The Pope was going to kill him, but Luther got to be friends with the Black Knight, so nobody could touch him. Well, then they just kind of camped out there. But somebody else in that movement found out, hey, when we get born again, we're supposed to get water baptized. So then they stepped out and they started baptizing people. And then somebody got to reading in the Bible again. They said, hey, you know, we're supposed to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So then they started getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they just keep going forward. God keeps going forward, but not all those people that stayed behind, God's bringing them forward. Do you know there's some charismatic Catholics running around? You know there's some charismatic Church of Christ running around? You know there's some people that are sitting in the Word of Faith Church that probably haven't even accepted Christ as their Savior? Look, people are learning all the time. God's bringing people forward grace by grace. He's bringing us forward. I know, well, everybody just come forward in leaps and bounds, but that's just not the way it is. Everybody's going to learn a little bit at a time. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herb. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There's basically 20 duties of Christians laid out in that 14 verses. It would behoove you to understand these. Let's look at the first one in verse 1. It says, fellowship each other in spite of personal differences. You know how little that happens? You know, this is kind of a different little town because the churches kind of come together for different events and different things. And that's pretty special. Because I know places where you will not see Baptists going talking to Catholics. The Church of Christ is not going to associate with the Assembly of God. Baptist preacher that wouldn't walk across the street to put a Methodist preacher, pour a bucket of water on him if he is on fire. That's a body of Christ that is so split up that they can't even associate with each other. They can't fellowship with each other. And they're fighting against the will of God because they're right. They got their idea, and they're the only ones that are right. This is the only way you can do it. That's a scruple. We should reach out to the body of Christ regardless of what roof they come under. They might know something. They might know something you need to know. They might know something fun. Verse 3 says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Literally, do not despise each other. You know, there is just some people that literally think if you're a tongue talker, you got to be a Satan. This is weird how things happen, but I broke down over by Eden, which is by San Angelo. And you know, it's flat there, and you can see for a long ways. And I had a load of hardwood lumber on my trailer, and there I am, broke down. And I'm a long ways from anybody that can come help me. And there's a storm brewing. And so I'm thinking, you know, these clouds are pretty bad, and it's looking like tornado. And I said, this is just not the way I want this trip to go. So I'm wishing somebody will come help me. Well, lo and behold, this little blue car comes by. Said, you need some help? I said, yeah, I do. So I jumped in, And he said, what do you need to do? I said, oh, I need to go get a tarp so I can cover this wood up. So we're driving down the road, and this guy just starts telling me everything, how he got fired from the Department of Corrections for dealing dope in the prison system and all this stuff. And I was thinking, okay, well, this is pretty interesting, you know. And he keeps talking, and I said, man, you need Jesus. I got Jesus. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, where do you go to church? I'm not going into another church. I said, you're not going into another church? Why is that? You know, I asked my dad a scripture in the Bible, about one scripture in the Bible, and he beat me till I couldn't hardly walk. He told me, he pulled me out of school, said, you're getting homeschooled. You're going to hell, boy. So I told him what denomination he come from, and he looked at me kind of funny. He said, how'd you know that? He said, just trust me. So he opened up a little more, and we were going down the road, and he said, oh, I married the devil. I said, what? Yeah, my wife, she's the devil. I said, what do you mean? My dad told me not to hang around with her, but I got her pregnant, and I had to marry her. Now I'm married to the devil. And I said, what are you talking about? You married the devil? And he said, there's the devil's church, a great big Pentecostal church right there. I said, he married a Pentecostal Southern Baptist boy, married him a Pentecostal woman. And I said, what happened to you? And he said, He said, don't ever tell me about falling out in the Spirit of God. I got the scars to show you. They were faking. They were pushing people down. They wanted something to happen so bad that they were willing to push somebody down instead of let God take care of it. What I'm saying is the church needs to come together in the unity of the faith. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody else. You know, I actually kind of hope that there's another event at the Catholic Church where we're all involved in, where we get to go down there to the Catholic Church at some point. And I want you all to go there. And I want you all, on purpose, to go to the wall and find the Stations of the Cross. It's really, really cool. Go look at all those different places where Jesus shed his blood. And there's two little prayers right underneath there. Don't pray the one to Mary, but pray the other one. That's cool. That's a cool way to see these different things and see where you got some deliverance from the shed blood of Jesus. See, they got something that the body of Christ can use. But people are so busy throwing rocks at them because they don't get born again the way we do. You know, they all got something. I want you to order that book, The Day of the Saints by Bill Hammond. It's $20. He'll go through and explain these different dispensations. He'll show you different things that these different denominations have preserved for the body of Christ. Just because you're sitting in a Word of Faith church doesn't mean that you know everything. They have preserved something. They're not in existence because they don't believe. They're in existence because they did believe something. It's worth your money and it's worth your time. You're living in the day of things that have been prophesied, some things 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. God prophesied some of this stuff thousands of years ago. And here we are, right smack dab in the middle of it. We're it's on us. It's here. The Day of the Saints. by Bill Hammond. He's raising up prophets to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now look what's happened. Now we got a great revival. This is a great revival. This is not going to stop at 18 different points. This is going to go on. Next Sunday, there's probably going to be 100 different places that have been affected by this revival. And the next Sunday, there's probably going to be 1,000 different places that have been affected by this revival. What I'm saying is, don't get caught sitting on your butt waiting for God to do something. He's doing something. Our job is to support, pray for. You know, I'm always interested in the comments of when something happens, you know, and they started talking about this revival. You can't believe the amount of people that got on there and said, this is not of God. Why not? Well, not doing it our way. Just get ready. God is going to do things His way. And now we got a great movement. This movement has been going for a while. We've been seeing the signs in the heavens. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians get caught up and say, well, you're not supposed to be looking for signs. Okay. Jews require a sign. I think you better pay attention to what's going on in Israel once in a while. And pay attention to what's going on in prophecy once in a while. See how these prophecies are being fulfilled. I thought that was so cool when the tetrad of four blood moons happened. And then we had more blood moons and huge blood moons and signs and wonders in the skies. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. Pete's my stargazer. Some of these things nobody alive has seen before. Isn't that right? Yeah. And here we are, right in the middle of it. They were mad at the Methodists because they think you can just sprinkle people to get them baptized. Get over it. There's people that are mad at us because we think once we're saved, we're always saved. Don't fall in to the little scruples. Don't fall in. Somebody makes a mistake, get over it. But if you're still hounding on them for that mistake they made 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years ago, you're nuts. You got to let it go. You're wasting your time. Remember, it said God, these people answer to Christ, not you. Don't despise each other. They do something different, that's okay, they just do it different. There, you know, there's actually people that eat pizza without putting mayonnaise on it. How can you do that? What's wrong with you? Look at the biggie in here. It explains it from verse 3 to 13. Is basically, do not judge each other. Do you realize what you do when you start judging people? You place yourself in a seat that is appointed to God and God alone. I can't even tell you how dangerous that is. You are not to judge. We are not to judge other people. They do it different. That's okay. That's them. We got to do what we got to do. Recognize that each man is God's servant and personally responsible to God for what he allows himself to do aside from what is forbidden. Other Christians do not answer to you. They answer to God. Unless you happen to be the husbandman or the worker of the clay or the creator, I mean, if you're a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down, then maybe you can judge somebody, but if not, then don't. You let them deal that out with God. We're not going to get any farther today. This is pretty fun stuff. Just know right now, things are changing. Our world is changing so fast. And things are getting so good. This is a glorious time to be alive. People are looking at it as a doom and gloom situation. It's not. This is a great cleansing of the earth. You realize that we're in the process of separating the wheat from the tares. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything Holy Spirit is doing as he's bringing us forward in the spirit of unity, in the spirit of the faith, teaching the church. Father, we ask you that we'll be led with humble hearts by Holy Spirit to get where we need to go. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.